Hello and welcome to Brain Trust Live number 244.
This week on the podcast, the Comey firing was not, as it turns out, an elaborate prank on him, but it was certainly an elaborate prank on America.
And Sally Yates states the obvious in her Senate hearings because she's the only one who will admit the obvious.
Plus, after seeing how much America loved having their health care taken away, the GOP is moving to cut even more programs Americans depend on.
And Trump plans his first trip as president to the only vacation destination tackier than Mar-a-Lago. Saudi Arabia's royal palace.
Plus, it's 2017 and white nationalists are still bringing torches to their rallies.
And if there's one person America needs in 2020 after this administration, it's someone nicknamed The Rock.
We'll have all this and more.
This is Brain Trust Live. Hey guys, I'm Brent.
I'm Lila, and you can find us on the web at www.braintrustlive.com.
That's right.
Happy Mother's Day, everybody. Yeah. Also, welcome Brent back after grueling
I know.
His grueling trip to Mexico to research the wall.
Yeah.
And then grueling illness.
Man, that was
sudden illness.
That was much more grueling than researching the wall.
Yeah, because you were on vacation, Brent, going horseback riding and going to the
margaritas.
Beach.
Yeah.
Brent literally swam with dolphins while he was there, so it wasn't
that
grueling.
Yes. And if you're gonna go animal rights activist on me, we went to the one that was in like the natural waters. It was like a blocked off lagoon, like off of the, I mean, they're still locked in there, so it's only marginally better, but we weren't going to the one where they had been taken away and then like put in a tank somewhere. So like,
plus it resulted in some great family photos
really
shared
did.
By your dad on Facebook,
obviously. Who else is gonna do it?
Yeah, well, that's what Steve Thornburg does.
That's right.
And happy Mother's Day to Clarcy and Carla. And
that's
my
right.
Aunt Becky is here as a stand-in for my mother.
Yes.
She'll be hanging
Welcome.
Out in the background.
She's here.
Hopefully laughing a lot. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah.
But
it'll be like having a laugh track.
Oh, that'd hopefully. Be, yeah, that'd be fun.
Yeah.
We should start bringing an audience in just to see if it'll make us sound popular.
Just to see if they laugh at us.
To see if they laugh.
But let's not do that.
No, let's definitely not do that, because what if they don't?
Right, exactly.
Meanwhile, Brent came back in time for a big news week. Because after last week we talked, Brent probably doesn't even know what happened last week. He probably was just
much.
On his deathbed, not
if it
reading the news.
Between Thursday and Sunday, there's no chance.
He's not aware. But we were talking a lot about healthcare reform last week,
right.
As you might
that
imagine.
That was last week.
Yeah. This week, we had something to distract us from all the healthcare reform. We
really did.
Because we had our version of the Saturday Night Massacre.
Yes.
My mom keeps calling me and telling me she's furious because young people just don't get how big Watergate was. And so she keeps hearing commentators. Well, she keeps hearing commentators talk about Watergate who were not old enough to live through Watergate.
Got it.
And she's furious that there's no baby boomers there to explain Watergate because she's angry that all of the commentary she's hearing is
is
comparing this to Watergate but saying it's not yet as serious as Watergate. And she thinks...
I watched Chris Matthews,
Chris Matthews
yammer on about Watergate for one solid hour
here's
as this
a problem.
Was happening on
Chris
Tuesday
Matthews
night,
is like not a credible person to me.
Well,
anymore.
I understand that. So, and I didn't enjoy doing it, but like that was my television
But
option
he is somebody
at the time,
who might rail on about Watergate.
Yes.
In any case, it was certainly some sort of massacre because it was the first time that the Trump administration has openly fired somebody who was at one time essentially a loyalist to them in an effort to maintain a rigid sense of loyalty in their administration and put the fear of God into the other people that might be investigating
him. If we're to believe Hillary Clinton, it was James Comey who single-handedly elected Donald
That's
Trump.
Right. She's still touring the country reminding us of the fact.
Shit.
But regardless of what the reason was, the move only has a 29% approval rating, so it was
not
one of his more popular
That's
moves.
Lower than his approval rating.
And it also shows that there is really no benefit to being loyal in the Trump administration because Comey had, whether or not that was single-handedly what lost the election for Clinton, certainly did the Trump administration an unnecessary favor.
Of course. I would not argue that.
In bringing up her emails and,
like,
you know, reminding us of this investigation 10 days before the election. And then the reason that they fired him officially is hilarious because it's about how terrible a job he did with the Clinton email investigation.
I mean,
so they basically took the fact that he had been put in a position to do a terrible job with that investigation by them and then used it against him, which is why you shouldn't play ball with these people.
No.
They're not the right people to play ball with because they don't understand how ball games work.
And it was also in response to a letter written by Jeff Sessions,
right,
who recommended this. And also you know, Rosenstein, who I think is like the deputy attorney general, right? Exactly. Yeah. But Jeff Sessions is a person who was supposed to have been recused from anything to do with Russia.
The Russia investigation, and that's
and granted, like this wasn't they didn't tie it to the Russia investigation because obviously
but
they weren't going to do that.
But facts like, he and our popular imagination right, exactly. certainly directly tied yes. it to the Russia investigation.
But it's just real rich that this came from Jeff Sessions. I mean, come
yeah,
on.
Well, he recused himself in the sense that he will just personally appoint indirectly the people who oversee the investigation.
Right, exactly.
He just won't personally oversee it.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And it also, it came on the heels of Sally Yates giving testimony to the Senate, which was the big story of the week until this happened. And
right.
so it was partially, I think, a move to distract us from what she said.
Well, and it did, because we forgot
We've already
about
forgotten
it.
About it.
Exactly. As we were pulling news stories for what happened this week, we couldn't remember
so
what happened prior to Tuesday. So they
got us
they
again.
Did a good job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But so I think everyone in the administration was starting to feel the Russia thing. The heat was starting to get too hot for them. And
yes.
so this was a way of kind of disrupting that investigation while also distracting us from things that we learned during the Yates testimony
right.
about their mishandling
right.
of
and
the Russia investigation.
And also a couple hours prior to this firing, CNN was reporting that subpoenas had been issued. And
right.
we're going to get to that. A little later. We're also going to talk more about Sally Yates a little bit later. But they had issued subpoenas for a grand jury, which is apparently looking into specifically Michael Flynn, but just more broadly the Russian ties to the Trump administration. So like
it was all very expertly
right,
designed.
Exactly.
To
there were a lot of people sort of are, I think, probably rightly, saying that the administration is feeling the walls closing in.
But what's so funny about this is their effort to distract us via a firing a la Richard Nixon
right.
has also led us to it's led us to like listen more carefully as Trump describes what might be his own Nixonian activities. Like it's led us to understand that he might be undertaking Nixonian activities.
Yeah.
So he's kind of done himself a disservice and a service in doing this.
It's almost like he wants to turn into him.
I think
like,
he does.
Because
well,
he's also talking about the tapes, like he's recording things.
Yeah,
like we're going to get to that in a second too. But like,
well, and of all the people who've been talking about this Comey firing, he's one of the few that's old enough to remember Watergate.
That's true.
He also, he's like trying to turn a lot of terrible presidents into folk heroes. That's like with, we talked
right.
last week about
oh, yeah.
his
oh,
beloved,
that's right.
his beloved
his retelling
Andrew Jackson,
of the Civil War,
history. As something Andrew Jackson would have solved if he had just been there alive,
right.
I guess.
Right, exactly.
To deal
and
with it.
And how mad he was
and
about it.
Exactly. Yeah, he was furious about it.
But, yeah.
Well, you know,
debt.
things are only coming to light now about the Civil War. Frederick
well,
Douglass
right. Frederick
finally
Douglass,
getting
I
more
know.
And more recognition he's yep. noticing. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, Andrew Jackson, had he been there and been given the opportunity to solve
yep.
the Civil War, could have
yep.
just gone ahead and done it. All he needed was to be alive and the president
That's
at the
right.
time, two
yep.
things he was not. But I think that he might be trying to reframe Nixon as also, like, because he probably gets compared to Nixon a lot, too, because he's the most recent terrible president that anyone
sure.
can remember. So he's probably just trying to think of ways to make Nixon seem like a credible guy. So he's doing
yeah.
Nixonian things, thinking, well if I'm like Nixon... Nixon must have been great because
right.
I'm
well,
great.
And this is the second time that he's done something that's been compared to the Saturday Night Massacre because
I know.
Because
remember when he did the first one?
Because the Sally Yates firing, which
was also
in the news again, was compared to that to a lesser degree.
The
I mean, I think this is a little bit more
messing
on the nose
up
here. But
is that he's the point of a Saturday Night Massacre is that
so
it's,
you do
doesn't
it
doesn't
hit
a news cycle.
I was going to say
he's doing this on like Tuesdays.
Do it on Tuesday.
That's a terrible day to do a massacre.
God.
In any case. Comey found out about it while he was at an event in L.A. speaking to FBI employees,
yeah.
and it was playing on a TV in the background. He heard about it from the news, and he thought it was a prank, and kind of laughed it off during his speech, like,
yeah.
Like he thought it was hilarious. And then people took him aside after, and they were like, oh, no, you were actually
right. His
fired.
His staff, started quickly scurrying about, and were like, hey, Jim, we gotta...
But as we just alluded to, Trump, via Twitter, made us start to talk about tapes that we hadn't even thought we
right.
needed to talk
right.
about.
We were already talking about Watergate and
right.
the Saturday Night Massacre.
And he did us one better by tweeting, James Comey better hope there are no, quote, tapes of our conversations before he starts leaking to the press,
oh.
which immediately made everyone think there are definitely tapes of their conversation
right, of course.
That will leak to the press.
Yeah.
And then Sean Spicer
Poor
got
Sean
asked
Spicer.
About it at the press briefing and wouldn't elaborate further. And he told reporters the president has nothing further to add on that.
Right, because
he didn't know what the hell
was
going on.
I was
going
to say, he didn't know what he meant. He didn't,
no.
he didn't know
nobody
why
knew
he
what
said
he
it.
Meant.
No, nobody did. Yeah.
And then Jeanine Pirro also tried to get Trump to answer questions about it. But since
yeah.
she's like his favorite Fox News these days.
That's that fool that, remember, he like tweeted to like watch her show that night. And then
promoting
like
her show. They're in cahoots.
And she like opened with like trashing Paul Ryan. It was after like their first failure at healthcare. Like, mm-hmm. She's his new go-to Fox News.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of them. They're dropping like flies over Fox News. They I feel like Jeanine Pirro is less likely to be taken down in a sexual harassment scandal because she's probably being sexually harassed at Fox. Yeah. So, you know, there's probably less risk in going in with a female Fox News host. Yeah. But so in any case, whether or not these tapes exist, this was a concerning statement to make because either it means that he thinks he can threaten tapes existing or that tapes do exist and that either way that's an okay thing for people to think exists.
Well, it doesn't make any sense because, like, if they do exist, like, then they're going to be subpoenaed, obviously. And if they don't exist, then the fact that you teased them, like, if we find out later that they don't exist, the first place that my mind is going to go to is that they got rid of them in some sort of, like, nefarious sort of, like, tapes burning ceremony
one thing
or something.
We know.
You know, it's
the
just
tapes
like...
exist now. Whether or not they'll exist at the time of a subpoena later is a question. Sure. We don't know.
Yeah.
But I feel like you don't talk about tapes.
No, you don't.
Who threatens arbitrarily, he better hope there's no tapes of our time together? Who would have taped that but Trump?
An idiot who sent a lot of idiot tweets on Friday, more of which we're going to get to in a little bit.
So true. Yeah, he was on a tweet storm Friday, so this is part of a larger conversation.
Yeah.
But as far as who's being considered to replace Comey, there are four candidates that are being floated by the White House.
Yes.
And it's Jeff Sessions and his deputy attorney general, Rod Rosenstein, who... do the interviews. No credible person is involved in this interview process. But there's also some pushback from the Democrats who are saying that until they have a special prosecutor on the Russia thing, they're not going to consider any of these people.
Well, there's also some pushback from, I don't know, from multiple Republicans, but at least Lindsey Graham.
Right.
So it's not only the Democrats.
Security hawk Lindsey Graham.
And we only need a couple more of their help.
I feel like also if Lindsey Graham's on board, John McCain must be on board. They're like BFFs,
right?
They don't do
anything, you know, differently.
They're like the gang of two. They join gangs, but only together.
Yeah, the odd couple.
Yeah, they're the Senate odd couple.
Yeah.
And I can't imagine a world in which the sort of like Collins Murkowski block is like trying to be involved in, you know, in letting this Russia thing go out the window. Just because I feel like if Lindsey Graham is saying it, then they're going to have to get on board.
Well, didn't
or
even
not
John McCain say that he was ready for a special prosecutor or something earlier in the week? So, like, the more sort of, like, moderates or the mavericky ones, if you will, are sort of, they're fed up with some of this nonsense.
Well, this is a bunch of nonsense. It's making it look silly. Yeah. Meanwhile, the candidates are Andrew McCabe, who is a FBI veteran of 20 years and recently became became deputy director last year.
Yeah.
There's John Cornyn, the senator from Texas. He's a former attorney general, and he was a Supreme Court justice in Texas.
Yep.
He's the majority whip right now in the Senate. I don't think they want to lose the majority whip in the Senate right now.
No.
This is not the time.
No.
Like, they could lose Ted Cruz in the Senate. Like, that doesn't harm anybody. But I don't feel like anyone whose job it is to whip votes in this complicated a scenario is...
When it's fairly close. When they need...
When they need all
almost
the votes
every single
is
one of
the
them.
Right guy to lose.
Right,
that's
exactly.
I mean, they...
Well, and even Lindsey Graham, who I would assume is probably best buddies with him, said that under normal circumstances, John Cornyn would be a great pick for this. But, like,
this is not normal circumstances. There's also Alice Fisher... who was the former assistant attorney general for the Justice Department's criminal division. She's working in private industry right now at a private law firm. She would be the first woman to head the FBI.
Right. Like, I'm assuming that I don't know anything about her other than that she would be what we just told you, basically.
Right.
But I mean, like, that being said, like, once you've got two people who are, you know, partisans on the list, there's Cornyn and I think there's some other people.
Right. She's
floated.
She must be a partisan in some way.
Right.
There's not going to be one nonpartisan
politically
person.
Like, don't you just nominate the first woman FBI director? I mean, like,
I think you do
it
to distract everyone.
I mean, right.
I mean, that's what you do when you're terrible.
Yeah.
That's how Republicans use any sort of diversity hire.
I know.
They do it to distract us at a time. And also, if ever there was a time to bring a woman in, it's like when GM was going under and they suddenly had a female CEO. You only bring
it's
women
when everything
in if shit's falling apart.
Right, exactly. Because then it's her fault.
Yeah, then you can bring the woman down later. Right, and then men, with their sterling reputation, can take control later on and bring us back to glory. And then there's also Michael Garcia, who was a former U.S. Attorney General for the Southern District in New York. Cuomo nominated him as an associate judge in the New York State Court of Appeals. But he has also experience in the upper ranks of the USCIS, which is the U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services, and ICE, which they is their favorite enforcement organization in the world. Trump also was inquiring about whether Ray Kelly seemed like a who would be loyal to the president. Ray Kelly is the former police commissioner in New York and is like an asset. Like, are they planning to stop and frisk the entire world?
Right. Yes.
I mean, yes, I guess so. But, like, that's why you would appoint Ray. Ray Kelly couldn't be less appropriate for this.
He probably would be loyal, though.
He would be loyal because he's an asshat.
Right. Exactly.
Nobody likes Ray Kelly. Right. I mean, but I feel like also we were talking about, like, I thought that, like, Giuliani or Christie or somebody would be on this list, just at least in the early stages of talking about it, because Christie has been a Trump loyalist despite the odds
for a while
now.
Yeah.
And would actually maybe be someone you could convince everyone was qualified for this position to some degree. And Giuliani is just a crazy idiot who wants nothing more.
So much, I would say he deserves it because he was...
He was the first person to come out there.
He had Stockholm Syndrome. I mean, there were all those events where he stood behind Trump and looked like he was, you know, afraid for his life. And
he was.
I mean, give the man a job. Not this one.
No, but don't do it.
Not this one.
And but, Giuliani's, you know? I feel like this is the job he wants to have been made for, but he's only been made for an insane asylum, so he's not actually qualified for it.
No.
Also,
and you can't,
he's literally only the mayor. He's only been the mayor of New York.
And
I think
knowing what Lindsey Graham said and knowing that he's probably not alone in saying it,
I don't think they're going to, after an
unceremonious firing of, you know,
of someone who was being quite a loyalist.
Right.
Well, and the thing that they have working against them right now is that Comey has a lot of support in the FBI. So they've kind of pissed off all the intelligence agencies at this point. Because the CIA hates him because he's always shit-talking the CIA. The FBI didn't hate him until right this moment when he fired their beloved boss.
Right.
And the people that they're thinking of replacing him with are asshats.
Yeah.
The other people that are being floated are
bigger
also
fools.
Are equally horrible. Like Trey Gowdy,
who,
aside from being unfortunate looking, is also unfortunate thinking. Remember, he was the head of all that Benghazi investigation with the gross face.
Yeah, he's got like a weird pinhead situation.
He looks like Voldemort.
On. Yeah, he's creepy.
He looks like what I can only imagine Voldemort looks like.
Yeah. No, I don't like it.
There's a former lawyer from the Justice Department, but also Mike Rogers, who was a congressman, a Republican congressman. He used to be an FBI agent, and he used to chair the House Intelligence Committee as well. They also, you said you saw something on Politico about Kelly Ayotte.
Kelly Ayotte, yeah.
They're not going to give Kelly Ayotte that job.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. She's not on the most recent list.
No.
Yeah.
Trump says he's going to make a fast decision.
Sure.
But then Schumer came out and was like, well, we're not going to support anyone.
Right. Exactly.
But he hasn't actually discussed this yet with his large caucus. Because, you know,
he
has his caucus of 10 or whatever.
Right,
it's like every person in the Senate is
like
part of his
caucus. More than 20% is like part of the Democratic leadership now.
But he said, he first of all reiterated that the nominee should be nonpartisan. But also said that they need a special prosecutor for the Russia investigation before they're willing to consider anybody.
Right. And basically threatened holding up.
Said they would hold up the hearings if that's what they needed to do.
Right. Yeah.
Which it should be what they need to do.
Yeah.
I mean,
can they do that anymore? Can they hold up hearings?
Well, the thing is, I feel like now that the precedent has been set to go nuclear on whatever people feel like, I feel like they can make a show of whatever they want. But there was not enough blowback about them going nuclear for the Supreme Court.
No.
So I don't see why they would.
It was like an unfortunate non-event.
Right. I don't see why they would care about this. I feel like if there's anything we know now, it's that the only things that are going to go forward with cloture votes needed are things the Republicans don't actually want to have passed.
Right, exactly.
There's going to be a certain amount of legislation that even they don't like that they're not going to agree to go forward with. And so they're going to blame the Democrats by forcing cloture votes on those.
Right.
But anything that they actually want.
That the Democrats actually held.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Anything they actually want, they're going to find a way to ruin. In part of his Friday tweet storm, during which he was tweeting about Comey and the tapes, Trump also said that he might just stop having press briefings.
Right, and it was two tweets, and
they're
hilarious.
They're hilarious tweets.
He says, as a very active president with lots of things happening, it is not possible for my surrogates to stand at podium with perfect accuracy. And then he said, maybe the best thing to do would be to cancel all future press briefings and hand out written responses for the sake of accuracy.
It sounds
that's
like
a little sort of like
that's
side shade at Sean Spicer, too.
Oh,
What's her name?
It's not side shade. It's open shade.
Huckabee Sanders, too, who was doing a lot of the press briefings this last week, too.
No,
it's also... Because he basically said what Sean Spicer's telling you is not always accurate.
It's not accurate, and there's no way to ensure it is, so we should just stop putting him out there.
Exactly.
It's also, though, an authoritarian move. Well, if you hand out written responses to things, then there's no chance for people to know what people are asking in the room. And there's no way for people to interact.
There's no follow-up.
There's no follow-up. There's no nothing.
Yeah.
The White House Correspondents Association obviously was against this.
Yeah.
But also, having Sean Spicer there has been one of the best things about the Trump administration.
He
is an SNL parody of himself.
Yes.
And then Melissa McCarthy is somehow still parodying what is already a parody, that she's that good.
Exactly.
So there's no reason, like, if there's one part of the Trump administration that I'm okay keeping so long as everything else is being ridiculous, it's Sean Spicer.
I was going to say, he's the press secretary that this president needs.
Exactly.
You know, I mean.
Yeah, he's distracting, he's ridiculous.
He was born to be Donald Trump's press secretary.
He used to be the Easter Bunny. He has all of the things going for him.
He doesn't have a lot of facts.
He doesn't have many facts. He doesn't have a great command of makeup or tanning techniques.
No.
None of this, that's probably why Trump is so angry at him.
So many ways.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's the front man for, he's the exact front man for this band.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly.
But also, we want to make sure April Ryan's eye rolls get every ounce of
We've had so many
viewers that they
amazing things come from those press briefings.
In any case, as we talked about earlier, CNN said that grand jury subpoenas were issued regarding Russia meddling right before this Comey firing. So that is probably the reason it happened when it did.
Right.
They are the first sign of this sort of investigation escalating into the Trump-Russia, you know, ties. And it's specifically subpoenas to former associates of Mike Flynn and business records, for business records of his. But there's a larger investigation going on, obviously.
Yeah.
So,
but there had been rumblings that there was a grand jury going on here. And I think Comey himself, I think, hinted at it last week because he testified last week before the Senate.
Right.
And now we know that it's actually a thing. We know it's out of Virginia. We know, you know, they got in contact with Flynn's lawyers, who obviously wouldn't say anything about it. But like, it's very real. It's more real than
it was. An actual investigation is sort of going
on. Exactly. Yes.
And openly.
Right.
Speaking of Sally Yates.
Oh God.
Before all of this Comey news broke.
Yeah.
Sally Yates was testifying in front of the Senate about the meeting she had with the White House, where she told them that she thought Flynn was susceptible to being blackmailed by Russians.
Yeah.
And she said that she literally said to state the obvious, you don't want your national security advisor compromised with the Russians.
Right. Exactly. She also sort of gave us the timeline, which we generally knew, but she met with them.
On January 26th.
On January 26th to lay out the evidence with the White House counsel. She met with the White House counsel to lay out the evidence showing that Flynn had misled Pence, and that's when she was talking about that. And then it wasn't until February 13th that
they actually fired him.
Which Flynn.
Which is 18 days of them just sitting on the news that their national security advisor might be in bed with the Russians.
And like 14 days after they fired her.
Right. Oh, yeah. They fired her.
They fired her much faster than they got around to firing Mike Flynn.
And in the hearings, they kept asking her about how the administration reacted to certain events. And she was like, I don't fucking know, because I had been fired by then.
Right, exactly. She had to keep reminding them that she didn't work there.
Yeah.
She was like, I told them on the 26th and I was no longer working there on the 30th.
Exactly.
So,
we also found out that she heard about the first travel ban from the press.
From the press. And... She was the attorney general at that point. Like, she was the acting attorney general. Jeff Sessions had not been confirmed yet. And that in itself is ridiculous, but it gets even more ridiculous when you find out that she had met again with the White House counsel earlier in the day and they had not told her about it.
She literally had a meeting with them the day the ban got rolled out, which, as you remember, was the day it got announced. Like, that executive order happened and the ban went into effect that moment, which is what caused all of that chaos.
Right.
But they met with her that day
and
didn't notify her.
Didn't bother to tell the acting attorney general that they were about to God.
Yeah. But this, by the way, is all, these hearings are not about our national security. They're about getting to the bottom of those leaks.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, we don't want to.
That's really what.
That's all we care about. Who is leaking all of this information that's letting us know that the Trump administration is compromised? Right.
Well, this is a thing that we have seen the Republicans do, because they did it in the House when they first started calling hearings about this, too. They basically have turned this into, like, an investigation into who was telling things to the press. Because, and so they asked a whole line of questions. They basically sort of accused her of doing it.
Of leaking it.
Because what. It's normal for the U.S. to be spying on where the Russian ambassadors are going. But it's against the law for them to, you know, make public who it is they're meeting with. Like, that information only goes to, like, high-level intelligence officials, like someone like Sally Yates.
Right, because we're not
trying
to get our own people in trouble.
Right. So Republicans are obsessed with figuring out how it, you know, got to the press. From wherever it came from.
They see that being the national security issue here, not the fact that the president's administration was in secret cahoots with the Russians who meddled in our election, but the fact that someone leaked that to the press.
Right. And then didn't, you know, reveal that information. You know, Mike Flynn didn't reveal that information. Jeff Sessions,
who lied to the vice president.
Who is now our actual attorney general, also did the same thing in his Senate hearings.
Exactly.
Where he failed to, you know, basically perjured himself. We seem to have forgotten about that somehow.
Well, there's so much to remember. It's hard to remember these things.
Yes. But anyway, so that is... It's insane that that is what they're obsessed
with. And mostly
with.
They got obsessed with the fact that she had refused... The reason she got fired is because she refused to uphold the travel ban.
The travel ban. Yeah, so they asked her about that, too, which was not what this hearing was about.
No, it was just an unrelated side note that they went on because they're nuts.
Yeah.
Ted Cruz was extremely offended by her actions.
Yeah.
And he was trying to cite portions of the U.S. code to show her that she had been in violation of the law. He said that the code allows the president to block immigrants from entering if such entry would be, quote, detrimental to the interests of the United States. She then fired back with another statute that said that visas cannot be denied to someone due to race, nationality, or place of birth, which is exactly what the ban was. So they got into a U.S. code war.
Right. She had a couple run-ins with Ted Cruz, both of which where
Ted
she sort of, like, you know, totally dragged him because
might have,
like,
been an attorney general, but he was not the U.S. attorney general, so he's a lower ranking attorney general than she was.
Exactly.
So he can deal with himself,
because he said in another exchange, he said, in the over 200 years of the Department of Justice history, are you aware of any instance in which the Department of Justice has formally approved the legality of a policy and 3 days later the attorney general has directed the department not to follow that policy and to defy that policy? And she was ready with a response. She said that she wasn't aware, but she also added that she was not aware of any instance where the council was advised, quote, not to tell the country's top law enforcement official about such an action until after it was over with. Which is like, yes.
Yeah, she...
And also, she got into a large... She got into a long exchange with John Cornyn, which you should watch, because she sort of, like, makes him look like a buffoon as well.
But it's long.
A little, it's
so
long and it's a
we're
little wordy,
recite
but
it.
It's... Right. It's ultimately sort of about, like... Because there was, like... The Department of Justice, like, did say that the ban, like... Basically, all they were looking to see was, like, whether the document itself was, like, legal. They weren't looking into the, like, constitutionality of, like, whether, like, you can ban people because of their religion. They were just, like, looking for...
Can the president issue this kind of decree?
Right, exactly. And they said yes. So, like, the Republicans have latched onto that and have said that Yates was, like, defying the Department of Justice. But, like, she has a different job. She's not looking at just the legality of it. She's looking at the constitutionality of
it. If it was legal for the president to, you know, enact a ban that just killed random citizens at will, that doesn't mean that the actions in that ban would be legal. It means that he would have the authority maybe to issue a kind of ban that isn't necessarily full of legal acts or legal requirements.
So she got into a back and forth with him about that, and she sort of put him in his place. So
you can
watch that. There's a lot of good, like,
trying
clips.
To string up these tough women. These women made it into these positions at a time that women were not making it into these positions. They are fucking tough.
Right, yeah, exactly.
It's like when Hillary Clinton did it. It's like when Cecile Richards did it.
Oh.
You don't take these women who have made it into high, you know, into positions of authority through years of misogynistic nonsense and try to string them up in front of a Senate committee.
Do that at your own peril.
That's a fool move.
it's a fool's errand.
I mean, Ted Cruz is full of fool moves, though.
Well, and so is John Cornyn, which is why he shouldn't be running the FBI, by the way.
Meanwhile, we know we've been teasing a big shakeup for a while now.
Yeah.
And it's still theoretically coming.
Right, exactly. But we have, It's still only a tease. Right.
But there continue to be articles about Trump deciding to just axe his entire leadership team, basically. Everyone. And start anew.
Even cabinet members, which is, that's a new twist.
Apparently, he has a bunch of longtime friends and outside advisors that he consults, quote, after dark.
Yes.
About these matters. And so he's considering getting rid of Rens Priebus, Steve Bannon, Don McGahn, who's his counsel, Sean Spicer, who I can't believe he hasn't gotten rid of yet.
Yeah.
And everyone. Really anyone else who Anybody. Happens to cross Doesn't his matter. Path at the time. So this has started to intensify since the Comey firing.
Yes.
And so leakers, our favorite people in Washington, are a Twitter about all of this.
Right.
Not in the Twitter sense, but in the talking sense.
Right.
So he's been walking around apparently telling a bunch of his friends and his top aides that he's mad because his approval ratings aren't going up. And
but the leaks are.
People don't know how to work with him because it's impossible to work with him. It's not hard to figure out why people are having a hard time working with him. He thinks his staff isn't doing a good job of advising him. I would contend that's true because they don't know what the fuck they're doing.
No.
Steve Bannon is not a presidential advisor by trade.
He's not.
Rens Priebus has never been an elected official in his life.
No.
He's just a random guy who ran the RNC.
Yeah.
Like, these are not people who know how to do things.
Right.
I mean, Jared Kushner is just a random 34-year-old who's rich.
Yes, exactly.
He doesn't even have any professional experience of any stripe, really.
Just being rich and marrying Ivanka Trump.
Yeah. But he's starting to get pissed at... He's starting to just sort of, like, complain about random officials. He's been the person to...
It would not be that crazy at this point in a presidency to start firing some of your aides. That's been done before. And nobody would... we all know they're idiots. So nobody'd be shocked if he fired Steve Bannon because, like, I mean, you should be firing Steve Bannon.
The reasons he's thinking of firing some of these people are that they're getting too much glory.
Right,
they're not giving him enough credit.
Right.
They don't recognize the enormity of his win. Like things like that.
But it would be very early to fire a cabinet member.
Yes.
And some of them are apparently in the crosshairs. And like you said, that's a little bit of a new twist. So
Wilbur Ross,
who's apparently... a friend of his,
that's how he ended up the Commerce Secretary. Remember, he's just another rich guy.
Yeah, exactly. But, like, Trump was apparently mad that he took what Trump perceived as a victory lap on the China trade announcement.
Which does nothing, but
didn't give Trump any credit for it. Like, he wasn't sort of...
Because he had nothing to do with it. That's why he didn't give him credit.
Probably, yes.
Jeff Sessions is in his crosshairs because he made a big announcement about increasing prison sentences, but it was the same time that Jared Kushner announced he was working on criminal justice reform.
Oops.
This is a classic Trumpism.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Tom Price, he's mad at Tom Price because they can't get healthcare reform passed,
exactly.
And he's blaming everyone who's anyone about that.
Literally, he's blamed everyone for that.
Well, it's embarrassing. I mean, if I were him, and of course, a lot of things would have to be different for that to be the case, but I would be livid at anyone who had health in their title at this point, because this has been such an embarrassment this whole time.
Yeah.
But so we're starting to, at some point, some of these decisions are actually going to have to get made. They can't just tease forever that he's planning to get rid of everyone.
No.
It's just that it feels like it's been a long time and it hasn't been a long time, actually.
Well, and what I don't think that he understands, and it should be clear because it shouldn't take a real genius person to figure this out, is that part of the reason why there are so many leaks is because of all of this stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Because if you were in a happy workplace where you thought you were, you know, in a comfortable job that you weren't going to be fired from, you probably wouldn't be leaking up a storm.
No.
So, like, when you find out that he might be firing every single person who works for him, you're probably going to be more apt to leak something to the press.
Yeah. So you're gonna start talking.
These two things are directly correlated. I just don't understand.
He doesn't know how correlation works.
Not a thinker.
He's not a thinker. He also doesn't understand how, like, human people work. That's like a common sense thing. Like, an unhappy work environment is filled with backstabbing gossip. Also, he doesn't understand that people enjoy reading this stuff. So the more of it that can be produced, the more glory that people who are feeling underappreciated in the White House are going to feel elsewhere.
Right.
Nothing is more satisfying than the leak that you leaked turning into a huge news story.
Right. Well, I know. Well, and obviously, like, if you're I know he's mad at the press, but, like, if you're the press, you know, if you're the fake media,
right,
and somebody leaks something delicious to you,
Yeah, what are you going to not publish it?
Come on.
What kind of fool idiot would do that?
God.
In any case, they're still planning to do evil things in real life, too.
Yes.
Because even through all of these discussions about firing people and the sort of like behind-the-scenes drama of the White House, they're still trying to get together more plans to screw over regular everyday Americans.
I was
going to
say, the Republicans saw how bang up of a job, you know, they were able to do on healthcare and how much everyone loved finding out that they were, you know,
Going to lose their health insurance.
Going to lose their health insurance.
And they thought, we should take away food stamps, too.
Right, exactly, yeah.
Well, they have a little bit of a confusing situation going on. Because Trump, so far, has not backed down on his refusal to make any changes to Social Security and Medicare. These were campaign promises that he made. He knows that these programs are tremendously popular with a demographic of sort of like working class white people that he was able to carry. And so he has a wish list of things he wants. He wants to build this wall. He wants to make huge tax cuts. But he's refusing to make cuts to the things that Republicans normally say they're going to cut to make tax cuts and things like that happen. So House budget writers are trying to come up with creative ways to make cuts without cutting any of the things he wants to not cut.
Well, and they're also, I have a feeling, you know, if you are a Republican person who has worked on budgets before, this also has to be sort of like a confusing proposition to you before because you haven't had to attempt to work in infrastructure spending into your budgets before.
Never.
Because
and also,
what Republican has come to you and said they wanted to spend on infrastructure? None.
Their mantra has been that they are going to balance the budget in 10 years. This whole time. So they have kind of boxed themselves into a corner where they elected a president who was in favor of all sorts of random kinds of spending that don't make any damn sense. And then was sort of, and they have been this whole time saying, but we're going to balance. And you can't balance the budget when you're getting rid of all the revenue and you're spending a lot of money.
Right.
That's not how math works.
They should all take a field trip to Kansas.
Find out how the Brownback plan is working out for him,
the
governor with the lowest approval rating in the country.
And check out the budget deficit after they decided that they didn't want to have taxes anymore.
Yeah, they didn't want taxes, but they still needed the state to exist. And that turns out costs money.
They don't have public schools in Kansas any longer.
But that's fine.
Mean, they do, but they don't.
They don't have higher education, really, in Kansas anymore. But so in any case, the House Budget Committee is in a bit of a bind.
Yeah, they're
because
confused.
They're trying to figure out how to make sure that they cut enough from the budget, but all that they're really left with are programs that help poor and disabled people. Those are the only things that Trump has not vowed specifically to protect and are not on their list.
Are they trying to tell us that they care about those programs? Is that what they're...
No.
No, they're not. Okay.
They're trying to tell us that they're
ready to cut them.
That they're ready to cut them, but they're trying to do it in such a way where it maintains its budget sort of like requirements so that it only requires a simple majority vote in the Senate.
Oh, yeah.
They can't make any changes to programs that would require a cloture vote.
Yeah.
So they have a very specific set of rules they have to follow to make sure it's a budget bill and not a non-budget bill.
Yeah.
And they're thinking of instead just putting something in there that would instruct committees to figure out how to reach the savings. Remember during the budget, during the debt ceiling crisis, where we had the committee that was supposed to figure out where all the cuts that they agreed upon were going to come from, the super committee?
Oh, yeah.
That's and then they never figured anything out, so the super committee just went away.
That's kind of
what they're proposing happen here.
Oh, God.
Where they're basically going to put into the budget Paul Ryan's proposal to privatize Medicare. That is not going to pass. But they want to do it to feel special for themselves. The Senate's going to be like, go fuck yourselves.
Yeah.
And also, Trump on the stump, promised to save Medicare, too. That was the only one that he's backed down on so far. I think they're, A, waiting for him to decide he doesn't care as much about Medicare and Social Security.
Or they're going to figure out some cockamamie plan to say that they've saved it, but actually cut the whole thing. Right.
I mean, that's 100% what their plan is.
Right.
Currently,
like how they
have
saved healthcare by just kicking everyone off of it.
Trump is against the idea of privatizing Medicare because Medicare is old people and old people are racist and racists love Trump. So these are his people, the Medicare people.
Yeah.
So that proposal is symbolic, but instead they're going to have to start looking to like VA benefits.
Right.
They're going to have to start looking to programs that, you know, that feed needy people that provide educations or, you know,
well, the other
Head
thing
Start
that I think
programs, things
other,
like that.
The other thing that I'm sure these Republicans are finding is that the boogeymen that they often point to as part of government waste or whatever it is, you know, like the National Endowment for the Arts or
can't fund
a $20 billion wall.
And what's really rich, my favorite part of all of this, is that in their initial budget, they had their original Trump care bill, and yeah. that sliced $1 trillion from Medicaid. But when they rewrote the bill now only saves $150 billion. So the bill is way more expensive. It provides substandard care at a much higher cost.
Sure.
So this bill, where we would be getting crappier health insurance and slash no health insurance if we're already sick,
right.
is not actually going to cost less than Obamacare. $150 right? billion dollars in the national budget is like pocket change. That doesn't right. buy you anything.
Right.
And a lot of these programs that they're talking about, these are all going to be programs that don't actually cost anything.
Of course.
You know, most of these programs that help people in need are not as expensive as programs that build bombs. But they want to yes. increase money to the programs, to the Pentagon. They want to give more money to the programs that build bombs. They yeah. want to build a ridiculous wall for no reason.
Yeah.
They want to cut corporate tax rates. Yeah. And then they want to get rid of the pocket change programs that keep Americans alive.
Right, to fund it.
To fund all of it.
Yeah.
This is, they're not, there's not any clear sense of whether the Senate would
yeah.
go along with this, even right. if it was, a, you know, even if it didn't require a cloture yeah. vote.
Well, this is the thing that, this is the but, thing that Republicans do all the time, where they come in and they say they're going to be fiscally responsible,
yeah.
and they say that they're going to cut taxes, which is like, everybody loves to hear that they're going to have yeah. their taxes cut.
Sure.
But then, and they say they're going to cut spending.
Right.
And then they don't cut spending.
No, they because can't because they spend have to build on, a lot of bombs.
They spend on, I was going to say, they always go to war. Yeah, exactly. They spend on bombs.
Bombs
they,
are and very
then
they, expensive.
And then there's not enough cuts for things that people will
right.
Allow them to cut that can actually pay
getting
for the things.
Rid of and this the is National how we Endowment have for the Arts is not...
No.
And if we have to remind you of this again, we'll do it. But Social Security is not funded with your income tax dollars. Social Security, you pay a special tax to Social Security. It's capped at a very low rate, so rich yeah. people pay the same rate as most not rich people.
Yeah.
It is easy to make Social Security have a surplus of funding because
yes.
you would just raise the cap.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not, it's like the Postal Service. It's not like your tax dollars are go and they can just like get rid of your, you know, get rid of some, you know, get rid of your Social Security spending and then suddenly we've solved the budget deficit and we can go on right. cutting taxes forever.
Yeah.
Like some of these programs aren't actually cut in the way that they are trying to claim they can
right,
cut
right,
them.
Right.
The programs that they can cut through those mechanisms are the programs that go to the neediest people. They're yeah. not programs that go to everyone, but they're the programs that I think are the most popular and the most necessary
yeah.
in a lot of cases because they're programs.
Yeah, well, they're our safety net programs.
Are, I mean, you know, they're the programs that keep us from devolving into pure chaos.
Yeah.
So, but the sort of idea that they would, I just think this is going to be such bad PR for them to a degree that will.
Well, it has
them.
Been already.
It has been already.
They've released terrible budgets before and have been publicly raked over the coals for it. So I don't
I
know why
gonna,
they think this is going to be different.
I think
do it.
That
God
they also are fools because they're including a bunch of shit. They're trying to get the, you know, the White House is feeling embarrassed because of the whole healthcare debacle.
Right.
So part of it is they're demanding that some of their budget goals be in these budgets.
Yeah.
But the Republicans, I think, are going to find that they will never be satisfied with the number of their priorities that are going to be in these budgets. These budgets are never going to please the Trumps.
Right.
And they're never going to please the Senate. And
yeah.
they're never going to please any thinking people. So it's just going to be a giant waste of everyone's time where we talk about cuts that are just going to embarrass them and aren't actually going to happen. Or if they
yeah.
do happen, are going to be disastrous for them.
Right. Oh, boy.
They don't actually want this.
Yeah. Speaking of that healthcare debacle.
Yeah.
It's now obviously moved to the Senate. They have a working group with it, which I believe is all males, as we found out this
yes,
week.
Yes, right.
Right. Yeah.
Women don't have health, Brent.
Right, exactly. Uh-huh. No.
That's not what women do.
No, but it's...
Women suffer through.
But it's still a pre-existing condition to...
To be a woman.
Be one.
Exactly.
Yeah. But anyway, so this story was shocking to me because it comes from Senator Chris Murphy,
right.
who is not someone...
He's not
as
like
I
some wild progressive.
Like, no, exactly.
He's just a middle-of-the-road guy.
Right, exactly.
So New
he
England.
He
he's
was
from Connecticut.
Doing an interview with the New Republic. And he warned that Democrats would do everything in their power to restore health benefits to Americans who lost them as a result of GOP's legislation, including proposing Medicare for All.
They have gotten
yes.
the Democrats to start talking about Medicare for All. They're such fools.
I know.
This is a bunch of foolhardiness,
yeah.
foolness.
Yeah. Well, you know what I think is so hilarious is that there were so many Republicans who, when when Obamacare passed, remember all the Republicans who were like, this is just a path to single payer? Do you remember? No. It was just sort of like, and wouldn't it just be hilarious if it was actually their health bill?
Right.
Well, or if it just right. was, but if it was their health bill that like kicked 24 million people off of their health care that ultimately led to it. Like, that would just be,
exciting about this is another thing that I think we can thank a robust primary process for, which is the idea that an establishment Democrat would even say Medicare for All in public.
Right.
Because
as a thing that they weren't denouncing.
Right. Yeah. This is why it's so dangerous to start talking about to try to take away a mediocre program if you're a Republican, because the only thing that Democrats can counter with, they made the compromise with you and you wouldn't accept the compromise. So what are they going to counter with?
Yeah.
It's going to start being okay to say Medicare for All.
Yeah.
Don't,
because it sounds,
if you're a Republican, everyone's in favor of it. That's the problem with it.
Right.
I mean, not the problem.
Even
with
Trump
it,
won't cut Medicare. So like, why can't we all have it?
Exactly.
Right? I mean,
Medicare for All is wildly popular, even if Obamacare is not.
Yeah.
So this is, and even with a lot of Trump's own voters, this is something that would be wildly popular.
Well, and that's
why when he accidentally endorsed it, people were into it.
Well, and one of the things that has been such a huge success out of Obamacare is the Medicare expansion.
Yes.
I mean, you've got Republican governors who are scared about this new GOP healthcare bill because they might not have enough money to, right? I mean, like, that killed.
Yeah. That
didn't
killed.
Kill.
It saved.
It saved, exactly. But
no,
I mean,
but
like,
the problem with them forcing any sort of action on any of this is, that's what I think, you know, when Obamacare passed, we were both like, all right, this is a pretty lame-o program.
Sure.
This is a program the Heritage Foundation thought of. But anything that sets a precedent where people expect to have access to health insurance will be hard to get rid of, because people aren't going to go back to not having health insurance happily once they've already had it. It makes your life so much easier. It makes your life better. It makes everyone's lives better, because poor people having health insurance saves everyone's money. Because it saves tax dollars in emergency rooms. It's, you know, like, there's so many things that are benefits of it. So it is, they're going to open up a conversation they don't want to have if they actually want to go through with this bill.
Right.
And I think there are certain states that are starting to be poised to make this change at the state level that would be disastrous for them in the long run, because it would mean that their big donor states are going to suddenly show the glories of a system that, while people are dying in Mississippi because the, you know, the tax dollars that they cut aren't going to them, you know?
Yeah.
It's not going to be a good look for them. I mean, nothing is a good look for them, so whatever. Meanwhile, speaking of things that aren't going to be a good look for America.
God.
Trump's first international trip.
In the world.
He's making his first big international trip. Traditionally, presidents in the modern era have made their first big international trip to either Mexico or Canada.
Sure.
Because they're our BFFs, because we're all in NAFTA together.
But
he's had so many
trips to Mar-a-Lago he's had to make, though.
No, I mean, he's had so much
golfing to do.
He's pissed everyone off already in our hemisphere.
No one wants him to visit. Exactly. Yeah.
So instead, he's going to Saudi Arabia, our BFFs where we can't actually visit and women can't do anything. He's visiting all of the major religious centers.
Yes.
He's first going to Saudi Arabia, then he's going to Israel, and then he's going to Rome.
Yeah.
So that he can
check. Is he meeting with the Pope?
I don't know. If I were the Pope, I wouldn't meet with him. But I mean, this Pope might. Yeah. Not because he's bad, just because he seems like a guy who would meet with anyone. But so Obama also went to Saudi Arabia on one of his first trips. He didn't go to Israel. That was a big controversial thing at the time, where he went and visited Egypt, and he went to Saudi Arabia. He made a big speech at Cairo University. Trump is planning to do everything behind closed doors. There are no public events planned for his time.
Sure.
So he's just going to be doing a little behind-the-scenes negotiating.
Sure. Obama had already been on 3 international trips by this point.
Yes, right.
Obama. That's because everybody was trying to have him.
Exactly. Everyone wanted to hang out with him. And, I mean, remember, Obama came on the heels of the Bush administration. We had a lot of goodwill to make up in the world, so he had to go on a lot of trips.
True. Yeah.
But interestingly, Trump is also going to attend a NATO meeting in Brussels.
Oh, my.
After he goes to Rome, and then he's also going to go to Sicily.
Is it to declare that we're leaving it?
I know. He's going to Sicily to meet with the Group of Seven starting at the end of May. So he's going to be ruining our lives in new and exciting ways, most likely.
Yeah.
He did host Mohammed Abbas, the president of the Palestinian Authority, at the White House, and he is planning to meet with him again when he goes, he's decided he's going to solve the Middle East crisis. He's going to finally do it.
Well, it can't be that hard.
It can't be that hard.
Right?
He literally said it couldn't be that hard.
Right.
He said something that was like, this is going to be easier than people think.
Right, exactly. Just like how it would have been so easy for Andrew Jackson to
solve the Civil War.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, there's a lot of things. And, you know, unlike healthcare, which it turned out was hard.
Yeah.
The peace in the Middle East is going to be a cinch.
Yeah.
They are sort of benefiting from, because Iran has become very unstable, there's a lot more sort of desire in the Middle East to create some kind of peace that would allow them to not all end up in the crosshairs of what could be a new and exciting element of the ongoing war in all of the Middle East.
Well, that's the thing. There are some new bedfellows forming in the Middle East that you wouldn't necessarily think would be, because nobody is trying to have Iran running that show.
No, exactly. Yeah. So that's an interesting development, but that is a development that's completely unrelated to Donald Trump, who is going to take credit for it most likely when he goes to the Middle East and does nothing.
And his mere presence there could probably
only
screw
harm
it up.
Anyway,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But yeah, he's trying to. We haven't had the greatest relationship with Israel under the Obama administration because Netanyahu is a fucking dick.
I was
going
to say, if there was one person that Obama was not to be in a room with or on the phone with, it was Bibi Netanyahu. Yeah.
First of all, he sounds awful. Second of all, he basically tried. He sounds like a bully a lot of the time when he talks about Obama or makes sort of press statements related to Obama. Yeah. I think
it's like, you don't get to do that.
No, we give you money. You're not giving us anything. What are they giving us? Nothing. It's a bunch of bullshit. But so in any case, that relationship is about to alter because Trump is probably going to be, Bibi Netanyahu is an imposing man. So I feel like Trump is going to immediately fall into anything. Yeah. Exactly. It's going to be interesting to watch that happen.
Right.
Because
Bibi Netanyahu is far more imposing than Peña Nieto down in Mexico, and Trump couldn't demand that he pay for the wall when he went there.
Couldn't hold on to his one talking point when he went to meet with him.
Yeah, Trump is going to get rolled by Bibi Netanyahu.
Yeah, he's going to collapse under the weight of such a mean, imposing man.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, if things weren't bad enough politically, the Trump administration has been empowering white nationalists to go and emboldening them, I guess, to go have rallies of various sorts, as if they're an embittered minority group.
Yes, exactly.
So they went to go protest the removal of a Robert E. Lee statue by a city council in Charlottesville, Virginia.
Right. Well, one works in the administration, lest we forget.
That's fair enough, yeah. Mm-hmm. The protests, which had, according to Huffington Post, dozens of people attending, were led by Richard Spencer of being punched in the face on television fame. Yeah. And then they stormed two of the city's parks on Saturday, chanting Nazi slogans and brandishing torches. Are they medieval? Their ideology is medieval, and apparently so is their protest approach. They chanted things like, you will not replace us. Okay.
What?
Russia is our friend. All
These
white lives matter.
Terrible.
And blood and soil, which is a Nazi slogan. So they seem real pleasant.
Sure.
Richard Spencer claimed that the protests were a way to preserve and celebrate his heritage, which is apparently as a treasonous asshole, because Robert E. Lee was a Confederate general. That's like, I love anyone who tries to claim that their proud heritage is someone who's treasonous. The Confederacy was literally people that tried to break off from the U.S. and form their own nation.
Yeah.
That's not a proud heritage to celebrate. That's treason.
Yeah.
In any case. The fate of the statue is up in the air because the city council voted to remove it in February, but the plaintiffs filed a lawsuit to stop the removal.
Oh, boy.
Well, because of their proud heritage.
Sure.
So a judge issued a temporary injunction earlier this month, so no one really knows what's going to happen. But for 6 months, it's just going to be hanging out.
Yep.
With
some torch-bearing.
With some torch-bearing white nationalists.
God.
Charlottesville, Yikes. Virginia doesn't sound fun.
No, don't go there.
Don't go there.
No.
Oh, my God. And so remember Glenn Beck? Remember the days when we talked about Glenn Beck?
Right.
Brent and I saw him at Politicon, so we definitely remember Glenn Beck.
I was mad he didn't cry at Politicon.
I know.
It's unfortunate.
It's unfortunate.
He's a man who loves to cry.
He's a man who loves to cry.
Television.
Him and John Boehner, two crying men. Mm-hmm. But despite the fact that he's completely irrelevant, because all he does is run The Blaze, which is a dumb website that only ridiculous people read, he managed to get the first on-air interview with Bill O'Reilly in the wake of his scandal.
Does Bill O'Reilly go?
That's true. What's he up to? And why is he being interviewed?
Right.
Why is he on the news of any news source?
Yeah.
But he kind of made an offhand comment where he basically offered him a job.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Is too bad.
Well, he's got a spot to fill because what's her name is no longer there, right? Tommy Lauren or whatever the
Tommy
hell was
Lauren
in her,
or whatever her name is.
She's terrible.
Beck, O'Reilly was applauding Glenn Beck for starting his own media company, which allowed him to, quote, own his destiny, unlike me.
Yes.
So Bill O'Reilly's feeling real sad for himself.
Yeah.
But, and Glenn Beck said, well, I thank you for that, Bill, and I'd like to say publicly, honestly, and I know you're not going to get into this, so just shut that fat trap. It's why I would like to have you work for The Blaze.
Oh.
He was complaining that he couldn't get traction from corporate sponsors, but that Bill O'Reilly could really get him in the door. Even though it was the lack of sponsors that got Bill O'Reilly
fired in the first
place.
News. Right, because the last episode basically had no commercials in it.
Exactly. So it's curious what he thinks he's getting up to here.
Yeah.
But
I have a
O'Reilly had a theory about why he was fired.
I know. But quickly, yes. Before we stop talking about commercials, I have a feeling that The Blaze probably also doesn't have very many commercials. I bet if Bill O'Reilly brought those 7 commercials that were still with him on his last airing, that would probably double the amount of...
That's true. Their revenue would skyrocket.
Skyrocket, yes. Okay.
Bill O'Reilly was on there basically to explain why he thinks that it was a giant left-wing conspiracy.
Yeah, it was a
that
hit
he
job.
Got fired. It was a hit job by the left-wing and said that he's going to start taking legal action when he's attacked from now on. Sort of like the women who sued him.
I was just
when
about
you think
to say,
about it.
Yeah, it wasn't a hit job by the women that he was...
No, it was a legal action.
Sexually harassing.
Yeah.
It was a liberal hit job.
Yeah, it was a liberal hit job.
Yeah.
So, you know, He said there's going to be an exposition soon, but I can't tell you when and who exactly this crew is that terrorizes sponsors, threatens people behind the scenes, and pays people to say things. We're going to name them, and it'll be a big story.
It won't be.
It's not going to be a big story.
No.
And you're not going to name them because you don't know who they are. Because it's like random people on Twitter who just wanted our sponsors to act decently.
Yeah,
and not support a guy who had been molesting people.
Yeah.
That's easy enough.
They didn't need threatened, sponsors.
The sponsors didn't need to be threatened. And also, if threatening sponsors by saying, we're not going to shop in your business anymore if you support this, is threatening sponsors, that's just capitalism.
Right.
You can choose who to shop at and
that's
who
right.
not on the basis of whatever you want.
And they love capitalism.
You know, they love, he's very pro-capitalism.
Yeah.
And he's very pro corporate welfare though too, so he's not pro straight capitalism. In any case,
well, one of the joys of having a reality star television president is that
any fucking idiot nonsense celebrity thinks that they should run for president.
Right.
First of all, I have even gone on record as saying that I think that I would harshly judge Oprah Winfrey, who's been talking about this, for doing this. Even though everyone thinks it would be great because she would bring us all together, I think that the very act of doing it would make me suspicious that she's actually just as much of a narcissist as everyone else. Like, I currently like Oprah.
Sure.
I think Oprah's a good person.
Yeah.
If Oprah were to declare a candidacy for president as a person who is not political, who has no information about what it takes to be president, I would then retroactively withdraw my support for Oprah.
Right. I just don't know that being president really fits into the whole living her best life narrative.
No, it's a terrible job. That makes your hair go gray immediately.
I was going to say, Oprah would be living her worst life as president.
But following in Oprah's footsteps, we now have Dwayne Johnson.
And Kanye West.
And Kanye West's footsteps, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We have Dwayne Johnson, a.k.a. The Rock.
The Rock,
who
was... he's starring in Baywatch that came out this
weekend,
by
that's
the way.
Why he's being interviewed, by the way, by
that's
GQ.
Right. Yeah.
Hilariously, the article about this was written by Katie Weaver, who used to be at Gawker. So she really got all the angles.
Glad she's working.
Yeah, she's working.
Glad the Gawker people are
She left
working.
Gawker before Gawker went under, so she's all set.
But
She asked him about running for president in 2020 because there's been a joke about it. Because last year, the Post wrote an essay saying that he would be a viable candidate. I think we talked about it at the time.
Yeah.
And he apparently at that time started thinking about it seriously.
Sure. Why not?
But he said it's a real possibility now.
Sure.
This is different from how he used to talk about it. He used to kind of joke about it. He once tweeted that if he ran for office, they'd need a spot for his pickup truck at the White House. But now he gets all somber and serious when asked about this. He's registered as an independent. So he's kind of nonpartisan.
Yep.
But he's gone. I think he does a lot of get out the vote work, which is nice of him.
Yeah.
We all think we should get out the vote.
Yes.
But because of that, he goes to both conventions. And so he's kind of like apolitical. He is very much against Trump's immigration policies.
Sure.
Which is good.
Good.
But he's probably very for Trump's rich person policies because he is a rich person and he has in no way stated that any of these other inhumane policies that Trump is advocating for are bad.
Yeah.
So he said, hilariously, he was asked, about who he voted for, and he kept that a secret. And then he was asked, He said both parties sought his endorsement in 2016. He said, I feel like I'm in a position now where my word really carries a lot of weight and influence, which, of course, is why they want the endorsement. But I also have a tremendous amount of respect for the process and felt like if I did share my political views publicly, a few things would happen. I felt like it would either A, make people unhappy with what they thought of my political, with what they thought my political view was, and also it might sway an opinion, which I didn't want to do. That's the whole fucking point of making an endorsement.
Right. And also, like,
if your word doesn't hold a single ounce of importance, if you're thinking
about running for president, you can't also be fearful of having people know what your politics are.
Exactly. Because there's so many curious things.
We need to know that if we're going to
really the only thing we need to
decide
know.
That we want you to be the president.
So true.
Yeah.
And then we also have another celebrity potentially throwing their hat into the ring.
Nope, can't.
Idiot person, Caitlyn Jenner.
I'm The Rock 2020, if it comes down to...
Caitlyn Jenner is a person who transitioned within the last few years and then openly supported Donald Trump for president, right. Was asked in her first interview with Barbara Walters or Diane Sawyer or whoever it was. Yeah. I don't know, they're like the same person-ish. Whether she was going to continue, you know, whether her politics would change as a result of her transition, and she said no. That's because she's a rich person.
I was just about to say, she has the... Right, and she loves her guns.
And she loves her guns. She's a rich, gun-toting, crazy person.
Yeah.
And so she said she was really upset when it turned out the Trump administration didn't care about trans rights as much as she seemed to believe they would.
Right. Didn't she catch a lot of flack before the election for saying that she thought Trump was going to be, like, good on trans issues?
I think she said better.
And it
she
was
might
like,
have said better.
What are you talking about?
And then he revoked the policy, allowing students to use whatever bathroom they feel like. And then suddenly Caitlyn Jenner was like, wait a minute.
Come on. This isn't what I signed up for.
It's literally what you signed up for. And not only that. She apparently doesn't think that she is going to change parties. She instead has decided to educate the Republicans.
She's going
to
fix the Republican Party.
She's going to fix the Republican Party. Because apparently her economic politics are still as awful as
I'm
others.
Sure they're ready to hear all of her ideas.
Yeah, of course. They love hearing from people unlike them about issues that they don't care about.
Yeah.
That's one thing they're famous for. But so she's thinking, you know, she says she does work from outside, behind the scenes, but she's thinking about maybe running for office.
Sure.
Maybe running for Senate, maybe running for Congress. People have also said maybe she's thinking about running for president.
You know what?
My favorite quote about all of this is she said, I thought Trump would be better on these issues because I've talked to him. He does a lot of good things. He hires a lot of gay people. And so I thought maybe he'd be okay for a Republican. He could make some changes.
Nope.
A lot of Republicans hire a lot of gay people.
No.
Like, because sometimes you're just in a place where there's a lot of gay people in a field that gay people are in, and you have to hire. Like, that's making money on the backs of gay people by exploiting gay people is not something Republicans are against.
No.
They're against letting gay people get married and have equal rights.
Right.
They're against trans people getting to use bathrooms, apparently, anywhere.
Right.
They're not. Like, this
against
is like
us
just because
for them.
Trump has hired gay people doesn't mean he would be great on gay rights. What kind of craziness is that?
Yeah, I don't know. Well, you know what? Nobody likes Caitlyn Jenner.
That's so
and
true.
And that's, you know, I wish we did, I guess, on some level. I watched
She's the most popular trans person in America.
It was terrible.
Yeah.
She came off as very unlikable. She came off as clueless to the issues of the trans community because she doesn't face them.
She doesn't exist in the regular trans community.
Exactly.
She exists in a rarefied world of rich people and Kardashians.
She was shocked to learn that, you know, the reason that a lot of trans people take to sex work is because they can't get hired in a job. She doesn't have to worry about that because
she has
a zillion dollars. But like, so she doesn't, you know, people don't really have a lot of goodwill for Caitlyn Jenner, which I would contend is maybe why you shouldn't run for public office. Well, there was also a story on Huffington Post this week about how nobody named their child Caitlyn last year.
Really?
It like tanked in the name list
would
last
contend,
year. Like, so like don't run for nobody likes you.
I would contend
you.
That
like,
she is the most popular trans Republican in America.
That's true.
I would just contend that there are no trans Republicans, and that's why.
Right, exactly. Yes.
So in any case, that's the news this week.
Yeah.
Let's wish Brent good health so that he doesn't...
I'd like to be back next week.
He doesn't just continue to disappear.
Are we doing a... You're leaving.
Yeah,
are we doing a
bi-coastally?
Oh, that'll be exciting.
Heroes. Yeah. We can do that. We have the technology now.
That's right.
But we will be back next week in some... in audio form. You don't need to know where we are.
No. We'll probably tell you.
We'll probably tell you because that's the kind of people we are.
Facing issues.
But. Right. but we will talk to you then.
Yeah.
So, you know, keep an eye on our social media.
Happy Mother's Day.
And happy Mother's Day. Bye.
Bye.